Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. It's stand-up librarian Meredith Myers on behalf of the West Hollywood Book Fair. Happening on Sunday. It's coming up finally. I've been talking about it all week. It's finally here, October 2nd at the new West Hollywood Library Park. And one thing I do want to talk about before we get to our special guest today, I do want to talk about the library itself because I am now employed there and I was just there again this morning. And it's, I tell you, every time I'm in there, it's just a gorgeous facility. The staff is incredible. I gave a shout out the other day to my fellow librarians, but I do want to give a shout out to one woman in particular that's done a tremendous job with this library. Her name is Linda Demers. Linda, we thank you so much for everything you've done for that library. You're there more than most people and you're just so important to us. So thank you for doing all that you do. We've got an amazing opening tomorrow from 10 to 2. Please, everyone out there that's listening, if you're in West Hollywood area, please stop by. We've got Jackie Collins as our special guest speaker. We've got Christopher Rice there. And parking is free over at the Pacific Design Center. So please come on by. There's going to be food there. So if there's food there, you know I'm going to be there. I'm all about eating. And I'm going to be there giving tours of the new library. So please stop by between 10 to 2. But now on to our special guest. At the West Hollywood Book Fair, there's so many extraordinary writers there. One writer in particular that's going to be there, and she's going to be in the fiction pavilion. She's got best-selling author. Most people know her from Some Girls, where she spent time in a harem. Well, she's got a new book out. It's called Pretty. Everyone, Jillian Lauren, how are you today, Jillian?
Hi. I'm so glad to be on the show. Thank you.
Oh, we're lucky to have you. You've been all over the place. You basically just started your book tour for this new book, Pretty, right?
I did. And you know, one thing I do want to tell you that is a little known fact about me is that I wanted to be a librarian and that I actually started my library and information science degree, but I never finished it because it was so hard.
What?
So hard degree. Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
my
but
gosh!
Also because I sold my books in the middle of there, so then I had to move my focus. But I was trying to be a librarian.
Wow, I was trying to be a writer. I wrote a book in 2003, 2004, and it was never published. And I said, you know what? I'm going to become a librarian instead. So you and I,
yeah,
we both, I think, ended up in great places, I must say, because your books are incredible. But to hear
thank
that you almost
you.
Became a librarian, there's still time for that, obviously,
the
road.
There is still time for your book to get published, of course.
And my fingers crossed that maybe next year I'll be sitting on one of the panels with my book. So I certainly believe in putting it out there and just, you know, doing what you can to make your dreams come true. So. But we also have some other things in common, believe it or not. I mean, aside from I lived in New York City many years. Now, you know DJ Mendel, is that right?
I do. I was just in a show with him here in L.A. I saw him a couple times when I was in New York this past week. He came to a couple of the events that I did. And as you were saying, I'm on the book tour right now for my new novel, Pretty. But, yeah, I adore DJ. He's great.
I haven't seen him in years. When I was living in New York City, I did a one-woman show in 2003, and I met him through my friend Dave McWater. And, I almost was going to be a publicist for DJ at one point because I did publicity for years there. And I was like, gosh, that name sounds familiar after I saw it because he took the pictures, I think, for your trailer for this Pretty book. And
he
I was
did.
Like, oh, my gosh, DJ.
Yeah,
and then I went in to my computer and to my files, and I have a file with DJ Mendel, and I have, like, all of my PR stuff that I was putting together for him to do some PR work for him. So, DJ, I miss you, buddy. You're so talented. look forward to connecting with you
even
again.
He may be listening now.
All right,
know.
DJ.
Think,
hey, buddy.
Yeah.
But, let's talk about writing a little bit, because
okay,
basically you were – the panel you're going to be on, actually, is on the Fiction Pavilion panel, but the panel is
right.
Fresh Fare from Fabulous Females, New Voices in Fiction, and that's going to be 10:30 to 11:30. Now, so
yeah, it's really
you're a new
panel.
Voice. They're calling you a new voice,
I'm
even though you have another
new
book.
Fiction voice, although, you know, I did have another book that came out about a year and a half ago. It was a memoir called Some Girls, My Life in a Harem. So this is my first, my debut novel. So it's the first time anyone's hearing my fiction.
And how was writing fiction as opposed to, like, your own story in a memoir? How, what were the challenges in that?
Well, you know, I really feel like they're each part of a whole. You know, and I was writing fiction before I was writing nonfiction even. So it's not like I started with nonfiction and then went to fiction. I was always sort of going back and forth between both. And I think that, that each informs the other in my life, and I plan to continue writing both because I think that my nonfiction really helps my fiction in that I approach the world and my fictional world with like a journalist's eye, you know, and I'm a journalist's eye for detail. And then I think that my fiction really helps my nonfiction because it makes my voice a lot more lyrical and a lot more novelistic. So yeah, I can't do without either.
Right. Now, where did the idea come from for Pretty? I mean, do you want to describe what Pretty is about for all the listeners out there?
Sure. Pretty is the story of a young woman living in Los Angeles, and she has survived a terrible car accident that killed her boyfriend and that left her partially disfigured. And she is living in a halfway house, a recovery house, and attending a vocational beauty college and really trying to piece her sense of herself and her faith back together after this traumatic experience. And so that's the journey of the book for the main character. His name is BB. And I came up with the idea for Pretty when I myself was in beauty college in Los Angeles, also in early recovery. I've been in recovery for many years from drugs and alcohol. So the idea came while I was in this school. And I was bored out of my mind in many ways, but the one thing that wasn't boring to me were all the people around me. They were fascinating. They were these incredibly rich characters. And so when I was supposed to be studying, you know, the rules for, you know, sanitation and manicures or something, what I was really doing was I was taking notes. I was taking notes of what people were saying and what everything smelled like and what it looked like around me. And that was the source material that eventually turned into Pretty many years later when I was in graduate school.
Now, the book, you talked a little bit about addiction. It is about addiction and explores that and explores faith. And I think that that's just, to me, I think I've never really had a big addiction with drugs and alcohol. I don't drink myself now, but I've certainly had an addiction to shopping, which I think is a pretty big deal for some people. I mean, again, everybody's got different addictions in different ways. But I think it's interesting, too, when you're trying to set yourself on this new path, that a lot of times the friends that you had in that other life don't carry over with you. So, and then a lot of the choices that you make, sometimes things don't happen as they should. And that's where I feel like the message of this book is a pretty strong one. And I'm a firm believer that a lot of times out there, you know, people might not give you second chances, but I firmly believe that you should always give yourself as many chances as necessary to get on the path that you're meant to be on. And I think this book is going to be great for young people, especially out there. You know,
I hope so. And actually, it's been getting reviewed a lot as being a crossover book, crossover young adult book. And, you know, I didn't even dare to hope for that when I was writing it because I feel like the material is so, you know, is so edgy and there's language and there's sex and there's drugs. And But I don't know that much about the YA market now, but I guess that's becoming more and more prevalent and certainly as prevalent in the lives of teenagers. It was in my life. And so that makes me really happy. You know, I'm glad that it's reaching that young market. And it's true, you know, addiction is a subject that is so relevant, and it's a theme that really runs throughout our culture. You know, we live in this very addictive culture, and it's not just what we typically think of as drugs and alcohol, just, you know, the compulsive rhythms of our thinking and of the way we get information and of the way that we're trying to sort of like answer our own desires and our need for immediate gratification. You know, I think that addiction is a theme that's really relevant to all of us right now.
Absolutely. And I mean, you talked about, I think in a couple interviews you've done already, is just obviously Los Angeles. A lot of people are addicted to image. And, you know, I've worked in public relations where a lot of that is image and you have to think about every little thing. Can you describe, since your book is called Pretty, can you give me your definition of pretty?
Well, wow. I think that I chose it as a title because it works on so many levels, you know, and pretty in the title really refers to what the main character, Bibi, is dealing with in terms of integrating, you know, cultural messages about physical beauty, particularly living in Los Angeles, really turns up the volume on that. And throws it into relief, and is an interesting place to write about for that reason. And in trying to find something meaningful to herself, and some way that she can sit with herself and live with herself and feel comfortable and have an experience of, you know, an inner beauty. So, you know, I think pretty works on a lot of levels, and I don't think there really is one easy definition.
I agree, and I think that's one of the reasons why I'm in the library system. I, you know, a lot of people have it in their mind of what a librarian should look like, and I'm trying to say, you know what, librarians don't look like your grandmother anymore. You know, they're not wearing the buns, they're not shushing people. You know, there's such a diverse amount of librarians, and that's why I'm trying to actually, my focus is to, with standuplibrarian.com, where I'm trying to entertain and educate people about libraries, is to reach these young people and to say, you know what, just because what you see on these magazine covers, photoshopped and all that type of thing, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that's pretty. You know, pretty is the girl over here with freckles, or the girl over here with braces, or any of that. And it's not even image. To me, pretty is kindness. Pretty is generosity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, there's so many different definitions of that. But I think, again, I was, you know, curious also with the addiction, and, you know, I interviewed Steve-O the other day, and he was talking about his, you know, drug and alcohol problems when he was here in Los Angeles and going to the bars and whatnot. And I asked him, I said, hey, did you ever think about going to the library? You know, and he said, no. And that's where I think with this new library here in West Hollywood, I mean, it is gorgeous. And I just really hope that people can see that the library is a place where you can find solitude. You can find information to make your dreams come true. And it's just, I don't know. I'm so excited about the future of libraries. And I'm excited about authors like you that are out there. You're putting yourself out there in, you know, like some girls. I mean, to be so honest with everything and that experience and that story, it's letting women know that, you know, anything is possible, but just stay true to who you are and go along on the journey, and things are going to work out. You know, it's just, that's my opinion. I don't know. I'm going off on a tangent.
I love libraries, and, you know, I work at libraries. And I have a 3.5-year-old son, and, you know, and live in the city, and we have a small house. And so, yeah, I often go over to the Pasadena Library, which is
also
gorgeous. And I love the people over there. And I think that it's true, you know, libraries are so important to young people and so relevant.
Absolutely. Now, you were talking about Los Angeles a little bit, and you actually said that, you know, Los Angeles is kind of almost another character in this book.
It is. I really feel that, you know, it's so how we are in this spaces that we live in, you know, and the communities in which we interact, you know, and the various circles of our lives. And so it is another character in our lives. You know, I would be somebody different if I was living in Montana, or if I had stayed in New Jersey where I was born. And I am somebody who I feel like my life and my being is always very infused by the light and the people and the culture of the city around me. So that, of course, expresses itself in my writing. And I wrote Pretty in L.A. And there's a lot I want to say about our city is sort of sadly neglected in the literary landscape, I think.
Do you miss New York? I mean, you lived there several years as well,
yes,
right?
I do, and I just flew in from New York yesterday, and you know, and I'm always sort of scheming when I'm there. You know, how could we have a place here? How could we be here half the time? Or how could we? I don't know. Of course, I miss it. I love it. You know, there's nothing like New York, and I've never felt at home landing at LAX, and I always feel when I am landing at Kennedy or LaGuardia, I was mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm home, and then I realize that, wait, I'm not home. But the experience of sort of feeling, like a little bit of an outsider in the city that I live in is also one that manages to come out in my work and that I'm interested in engaging with. But you know, when I'm in New York, I certainly feel much more, and having been born a half hour outside the city, I feel much more like, oh, this is my place, these are my people. But, you know, we live here now.
Yes. And you live with, I think it's funny, we're both into bass players apparently, but you're into ones that actually went places.
Particular bass player these days, yes.
Oh gosh, so you're married to
Who's
Scott from Weezer. I've had many
Scott
bass
Weezer.
Players. I got to stop with those. I'm going to move on to drummers or something.
Players. Okay, now listen. I'm going to tell you what I tell all my girlfriends, which is that bass players are really the best musicians to date because they are the best communicators, because that is their function within the band. You know, is to communicate with the front line and with the rhythm section. So they're generally the good communicators. And
yeah,
the
ones
no,
I've dated, Jillian,
to
communicate with too many other women is what I was feeling. They definitely were good at communication, honey. They were, like, talking to everybody. Couple of y'all, you know who you are. I'm not going to call you out until my book comes out. Then you're going to know. Oh, my gosh.
Now
yeah.
I can't wait for your book.
Oh, it's hilarious, all the jobs and experiences that I've had. But you were a burlesque dancer at one point.
I danced with the Velvet Hammer Burlesque for a bunch of years. That was really fun. It was a lot of fun, my burlesque career. Yeah.
I did a number for my boyfriend one year for Valentine's Day, and he enjoyed it. He enjoyed it. We're not together anymore, so I'm just like, all right, see if she can match that routine. I doubt it. Another person that you've worked with, though, you've worked with Margaret Cho. Can you tell me about her? I think she's extraordinary, that woman. I love her. How did this happen?
She's such an inspiration to me. You know, Margaret did a burlesque show for a while that was like a burlesque and comedy variety show in L.A. and then also in New York, although I didn't go to New York with the show, but it was called The Sensuous Woman, which was named after some, like, 70s album she saw or something. And I just got involved through some friends with that little community of artists that were doing that, and I performed with her for a while in that show. It was a monthly variety show. And it was super. And, you know, Margaret, I'm also doing more like storytelling of my own, live storytelling, and I did a one-woman show called Mother Tongue this past summer, and I really consider Margaret one of my great inspirations because I just think that her honesty and her authenticity and the way that she's always really valued her story and her experiences is a very powerful political statement. And inspires a lot of people, and including me. So yeah, I adore Margaret.
Yeah, I haven't met her. One of these days, I hope to meet her. I always get compared when I perform comedy. I always get compared to Sandra Bernhardt a lot. So I've met her several times, and I just saw her at the Red Cat.
Did you see her show? She was.
I did.
It was great.
Oh, my gosh. I hadn't seen her since probably Joe's Pub in New York in, like, 2003. So when she was coming here, I was so excited, and I went. Yeah. And she actually had I don't have any of her books at all that she had released a long time ago. And she actually brought a first edition copy out of her own house. And I got that signed. So I have that up on my my personal library just on display. But she's another woman that I just absolutely respect and just is an original.
For many of the same reasons that I just said about Margaret, you know, I think she's another one who's just a tremendously honest performer and storyteller. Mm-hmm.
And Anna Deavere Smith is another one of my heroes. I saw her one woman show recently. Another.
Did you? Great.
We should just go to shows together. Apparently, we have the same interest.
I know. Whenever I'm like looking for a show date, because my husband's like, "Oh God,
give me a call, please."
Seymour Theater.
Oh my gosh. But no, it's like I think we're on the same page though in just trying to support and speak with other women that are just trying to be themselves. And that's where I think the message always out there is just, well, again, getting back to the topic of being pretty for women out there. Just be yourself. You are pretty when you're yourself because you're unique. Stop trying to you know, replicate other people's hairdos or styles or whatever. I used to, you know, I love fashion, and I always say, like, in New York, people have style. You know, a lot of times other parts of the country, people are just simply following trends. And I think it's okay to follow a trend here and there. But I think it's more important to just wear the clothes that you enjoy. And that's fashionable in itself. So, but anyway, let's get back to writing here. We're almost wrapped up here. Being on this panel again, I mean, there's going to be a lot of, I think, people at the book fair that are aspiring writers out there. They're going to come in and want to hear some tips from you. What advice can you give other fabulous females out there that want to be writers, that want to write memoirs, that want to write fiction?
You know, I am a big fan of that you have to write every day. You know, I've written every day, 6 days a week, you know, in one form or another for probably, you know, 12 years now, 15 years now. And I just think that the muse is way more likely to visit you if they know where you're going to be. So that's, you know, I just say that, you know, you learn to write by writing. You got to write. And you don't write a memoir by talking about writing a memoir.
Right. Now, and can we talk about your first book for a second? Like, how was that publishing that first book? I mean, when you wrote it, was it difficult to write material that was your life, that was so personal?
Difficult to write all of it. You know, writing is hard. It's difficult to write all of it. It was difficult to write the memoir. It was difficult to write the novel. So I would say that they were on par with each other. There were different challenges for each. And it was an incredibly scary experience to publish that book. I mean, not only was it my first book, but it was personal and vulnerable, and there was sexual content, and I just, you know, I felt really exposed. Like, I like to say I sort of felt like I was just standing in the middle of town with, like, my vagina showing, pretty much. But just like on every level, emotionally, physically. But, you know, I was just thinking the other day, you know, all the stuff I thought was going to, or I was scared was going to happen when that book was published, it all happened. All of it happened. And it's been fantastic. It's been the best experience of my life. And I've never felt the kind of freedom that I feel now. I feel like, you know, how are you going to hurt me? What are you going to say about me that I haven't said already? And it's been freeing, and it's been marvelous, and people have showed up and loved me for who I truly am, honestly, and not for this sort of compartmentalized way that I was presenting myself before the memoir came out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's been a great gift for me.
Do you think, can we talk about like social networking for a sec here before we wrap
up?
Because I think a lot of people out there, they're all over the social network. They're sharing a lot of information on the social network. Do you think if people are interested in sharing, they should maybe focus on writing a book or keep kind of writing just if they want to get it out on the page and then go from there as opposed to just putting it out into the universe immediately?
I have no idea. I mean, it's different. You know, certainly it's like I think that material that is, you know, a book or I tend to guard a little bit differently because it needs, not for the sake of privacy, but because it needs, like, time to figure out, you know, what the meaning is. I mean, everything that winds in my head, if it just winds up, you know, out on the internet in 5.5 seconds, it doesn't have the time to grow. Ideas don't have time to develop that way. And on the other hand, you know, there's something really beautiful about the immediacy of it. And I don't know what art and memoir and communication and connection is going to look like, you know, for the next generation of writers and artists and for the kids, for my son. You know, my son can work an iPad, and that sort of makes me hate myself, but he's 3. I didn't teach him.
Wow.
I didn't teach him how to work an iPad. He just can. And I'm like, oh, I hate myself. I should be more of an earth mother, and he should have no screens in his life. I'm getting rid of all the screens in this house. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what art and what communication is going to look like when my son grows up, you know, or what sort of.
Well, I think a lot of it is just we have to welcome change when it comes. And I definitely, like, again, I keep speaking from the library perspective because that's what I'm in. But a lot of people, they're afraid of the change. And I think that's a problem because, you know, your 3-year-old's using an iPad. Well, there's kids that are 6 eating sushi. I mean, and that's where I think a book like yours, like you talked about, yeah, it might be reaching this younger audience. I've always believed in treating young adults like young adults, not teen, because I think they know more of what's going on, and I think they are more open-minded at times, and I think we need to show them the respect. And that's where I definitely think I'm not going to go on a parenting because I'm not a parent. But, I mean, times have changed, and that's where I think sometimes I do believe sometimes that people maybe share too much because you can't take it back. Like, I mean, again, I think like a publicist, too, where it's like once you put it out there, folks. You can't pull it back, unfortunately, sometimes. But maybe writing. I mean, you have a blog. I have a blog. Maybe if people want to start, you know, instead of hitting the 10 pages a day or whatever that I know I do and maybe what you do, but maybe they could start with the blog. Start with that and explore.
Wow, if you do 10 pages a day, you're like,
how many do you do?
King or something. That's great.
I'm a workaholic.
I
do you? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I do about 8 to 10. I try to do 8 to 10.
That's awesome.
I know I'm going to have to cut a lot of material when my book gets published. But so anyone out there, I've got this book. It's almost done. Call me. But anyway, this has been terrific. I'm going to remind our listeners where you're going to be. Jillian Lauren is going to be in the Fiction Pavilion on the panel Fresh Fare from Fabulous Females, New Voices in Fiction, from 10:30 to 11:30, and then she's going to have a signing afterwards. I will be on the theater stage at 5:25 doing an all-literary comedy show. And for information on Jillian, please go to jillianlauren.com, and then for information on me, standuplibrarian.com, and then for information on the West Hollywood Book Fair as a whole, please go to westhollywoodbookfair.org. Gosh, Jillian, I can't wait to meet you in person on Sunday.
I know you too. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm going to be emceeing the Bats Entertainment stage, but I think that's downstairs, and then I'm going to head upstairs and meet you and try to listen to what you have to say a little bit more there, because you're going to be with some other fabulous females, and I'm sure you'll talk about many more things than even the things we got to talk about today.
And then I think also, my friend Claire Lezebnik is doing Claire, too?
No, I haven't met Claire yet.
She's doing there's a live book trailer that's going to happen.
Wow.
Thing. So I'm going to head over there. So maybe you'll come with me.
I will. Absolutely. I will be happy to go with you. There's so many exciting things. And please tell your husband hello. I think he's awesome. And, hey, they did a great job on the You Might Think version for Cars 2. My friend Larry the Cable Guy was in that. And
isn't that so cute? I know.
I thought they did a great job with that song because it's hard to top the Cars, you know? Like, it's, I mean, that's a classic song. But I think they did a really, really good job on that. So, all right. All right, everybody, we'll see you at the book fair on Sunday, October 2nd. This is Meredith Myers, stand-up librarian, with Jillian Lauren, author of Pretty. All right, see you Sunday. Thanks.
Bye.
In Palmer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I'll go blam. I'll keep on bum bam. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, I'm stumble down the lane. I'll keep on bum bam. In Palmer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I'll go blam. I'll keep on bum bam. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, I'm stumble down the lane. I'll keep on bum bam. These are the men who come in and they blow down my door. Rainy car part through my window, so they put me in the back of the car at the station. From that point, I'm a reason, destination. Where the destination is, and out of easy tension. Where the look down my pants, look up my bottom. So informer, you know, say that I'm a snowman, I go glam. I like it, boom, boom, damn. Take the man that say that I'm a snowman, stop somewhere down the lane. I like it, boom, boom, damn. Informer, you know, say that I'm a snowman, I go glam. I like it, boom, boom, damn. Take the man that say that I'm a snowman, stop somewhere down the lane. So, because the mother thinks they have more power. They're on the phone, Mr. Dead Pond, I want me for once, I use it once, and now me call me lover. Love who will be calling on the one, tell me, I'm me lover in my heart, down to my belly. Yes, and I'm a stomach, I'll be cool and deadly. It's the one MC Shan and the one that is low. Together we all have a Mr. Tornado in Palmer. You know, say that I'm a stomach, I'm a flam. I'll keep on going down. Take the man that says that I'm a stomach, I'll stumble down the lane. I'll keep on going down. Say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I'll keep on boom down. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, start stumble down the lane. I'll keep on boom down. So listen for me, you better listen for me now. Listen for me, you better listen for me now. Bring me the rubber, the light, the phone, the rock and stay. You say that I'm a stormy, I the art to cut down. But I'm not in and I have the dance. I mean, say where you come from. People them say you come from Jamaica. But me born and raised in the nigga, don't know what else you know. Few black people, man, is all I'm on. No, yeah, my shoes and them say up and I'm a toe. For me, I'm all in other ones around, so informer. You know, say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I'll keep on boom down. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, start somewhere down the lane. I'll keep on boom down. Informer, you know, say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I'll keep on boom down. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, start somewhere down the lane. I'll keep on boom down. Come with a nice young lady. Intelligent, yes, she juggling Ari. Everywhere me go, me never left for a tally. You say that it's snow, me a the rum dance man. Rum it in a dance, I lay in a nation. You never know, say that I'm a snow, me a the boom shack. And tell me never lay it down flat. And now I'm chan board bounce track. You say that I'm a snow, me a go region at the drop. So informer, you know, say that I'm a snow, me a go glam. I like it boom boom damn. Take the man that say that I'm a snow, me start stumble down the lane. I like it boom boom damn. Informer, you know, say that I'm a snow, me a go glam. I keep on boom down. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, start stumble down the lane. I keep on boom down. Why worry? Why worry? Worry? Worry?
Sitting around cool with my dibby dibby girl. Police knock my door, lick up my pal. Rough me up and I can't do a thing. Pick up my line when my telephone ring. Take me to the station, black up my hand. Trail me down cause I'm hanging with the snowman. What I'm gonna do, I'm backed in a trap. Slap me in the face and took all of my gas. They have no clues and they wanna get warmer. But Shan won't turn informer.
Informer, you know say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I keep on boom down. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, start stumble down the lane. I keep on boom down. Informer, you know say that I'm a stormy, I go glam. I keep on boom down. Take the man that says that I'm a stormy, start.